This call is being recorded.
Hi, this is Steve Powell with the President's Council. We are here for our pre-buying day retailer interview with Heath Ashenfelter, who is the Executive VP and Chief Merchandising Officer at Fleet Farm. Hi, Heath. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yep, no problem. Thanks, Steve.
Just to get right into it here, if you could tell us a little bit about Fleet Farm for those that are perhaps outside of the Midwest and haven't had a chance to be in the stores.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we are a Midwest-based out of Appleton, Wisconsin. I would call us an omni-channel retailer. I would say in a lot of cases, I would say we're lifestyle merchandise serving DIYers, outdoor, and active families. You know, across a store footprint that is pretty unique, along with our FleetFarm.com platform, and we. You know, we're an interesting retailer, and we consider ourselves very differentiated from rest of marketplace. We really operate in a lot of cases. We really operate 7 stores, almost within a big box. We actively participate in the apparel business with a lot of strength in the workwear area.
Sure.
You know, we're in sporting goods in a big way. That's one of our crown jewel franchises. We have a very nice and growing food and drug business. Full participation in the seasonal categories, lawn and garden, Christmas, trim. We do a big Toyland business every year, which is quite successful for us. Farm, hardware, pet, and automotive are some of our core businesses as well. We've got 37 stores. Up until a couple weeks ago, we opened 3 within 30 days, and then we'll open 2 more here in October. So we'll go from 37 to 42 stores. In about 90 days. Our average store is about 115,000 square feet of retail, about 175,000 total space. Our new stores, however, are 155,000 square feet, so they're large, again, participating in a very diverse group of categories, unlike most other retailers. That's a schedule. Our focus right now is getting new stores open. We are owned by private equity firm KKR. We've been owned by them for a couple of years now. They've been a terrific financial sponsor for the organization, and we are really more than anything focused on improving and revamping our core fleet stores. Those are stores that we've had for more than a year, 37 of those, and then accelerating growth in new stores. Again, 5 this year, 6 or 7 next year. Plus next year we'll start to remodel some of our existing stores. And then the plan is about 10 stores in the out years, and so we are poised for significant growth in the next several years.
And you had shared with me earlier a few weeks ago or so about opening a distribution center in La Crosse, was it?
It's actually up near Eau Claire, okay. In Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin.
Oh, sure. And that is recently opened?
It is. It opened right after the turn of the year. It's 1.2 million square feet of space. We have currently converted about half of our divisions over into Chippewa, into the new DC, and the rest are still being served on a direct to store basis or through a small distribution center that we have in Appleton, Wisconsin, of about 200,000 square feet. I mean, the Chippewa DC is really what unlocks a lot of our growth the next few years. Mm-hmm. We have largely served our stores. Largely on a direct-to-store basis with the small DC in Appleton for the better part of 60 years. Chippewa allows us to fill it up and serve the stores through a centralized distribution hub, which is going to allow us the opportunity to control inventory, but ultimately at the same time investing more inventory dollars in more stores. And so it'll bring down the total inventory in the network, which is really a win for all of us in a number of different ways, and allow us to re-spend those dollars in other areas, particularly new store growth and other capital investments in the business.
And as far as the categories that are being served through that, does that include most of the stuff that would be core DIY?
Yeah. So right now what is in Chippewa is a good chunk of the apparel business, most of the food and drug business besides what is considered DSD. So the soda vendors, the chip guys, you know, that business continues to be served on a direct-to-store basis.
Right, yeah.
And then the vast majority of our farm and pet and automotive business is in Chippewa today. There is some seasons, so take apparel, for instance, fall and winter apparel. You know, we do a huge workwear business and a huge fall and winter apparel business. We will front load the stores with some inventory direct from suppliers, and then the back stock or the replenishment for the rest of the year will sit in the distribution center, and we'll push it out to the stores as needed. It allows us to be a lot more surgical with where our inventory goes as well, which is a big win for the organization, because in the past when we were running everything direct to the stores, you know, we made a bet at the beginning of the big seasons where what stores were going to need what inventory. And even though we're a regional retailer, you know, there is differences in the weather and customer shopping patterns between Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, and the Dakotas. And so ultimately, this allows us to push in a chunk, let's say half of the season up front. So think fall or winter apparel, lawn and garden, toy land, you know, some of these big seasonal events, and then replenish the balance through the distribution center. The categories I didn't mention, hardware. We started to transition hardware into the new distribution center, and then most of sporting goods and a handful of other categories have not yet converted over the new DC, but will in 2019.
Okay. So for the time being, they should be looking at, most of the business is probably talking about 2019 anyway, but if there's something immediate, they're probably looking more at direct ship until that gets included into the warehouse.
Yeah, we're in this awkward period of about 24 months where there are some businesses that are going direct to store, some that are still coming to a pass-through warehouse here in Appleton, are permanently going into the Chippewa Distribution Center.
Okay. And, you know, as far as the operational format with Fleet Farm, it sounds like it's going to be operating more like a traditional big box than it would any kind of a hardware cooperative or anything like that. It's decision making is more top down and you're looking to move things more into the central distribution. Is that fair?
Correct. Yeah. So when we're fully bright, let's call it in a year or so, all the decisions for product placement are driven by our buying team here in Appleton. One of the things that is different, though, there's two main differences between how we're going to business today and how we've historically gone to business. In the past, our core fleet stores, the 37 stores that have been open anywhere between 1 year and 60 years, those stores they're not planogrammed. At least most of the stores are not. So the buying team here, my team would make decisions over what products we're going to carry, make decisions around the prices, and the advertising cadence and everything that goes into the decisions that the team makes. The difference is the stores effectively would do the planograms. All of our new stores are fully planogrammed, and we will go and retrofit the 37 core stores over the next couple years with planograms. So we're centrally making decisions around assortment, price, advertising, planograms for new stores, and then we'll take those planograms and new stores and retrofit the rest of the stores the next couple of years. And then in a year plus, everything, with some exceptions, will be run through our distribution center. There's still going to be some seasonal front loading that goes on. You know, so, you know, like I mentioned, fall apparel will front load. You know, certain categories in lawn and garden or holiday will front load to the stores on a direct basis. Mm-hmm. And then certain categories, like you think about truckloads of solar salt or bottled water, will continue to run some stuff direct. And then the vast majority of the business will go through our new DC in Chippewa Falls.
Okay. To get into the buying process a bit, as the suppliers are, you know, preparing their quotations to bring with them, and is there a standard form that Fleet Farm normally uses, or is it just an Excel sheet, or how should they best prepare that to the buyer? It's easiest on the buyer.
Yeah, I mean, one of the challenges that it was very clear to me early in my time here was that very, very little was standardized at Fleet Farm. And so, you know, we've got 50-ish buyers or category managers that are making decisions about what products to source and that type of thing. And we historically have not had a good deal of standardization of the forms required. And we still don't today. We will, as we move into a new line review process, the latter part of this year, we're standardizing all of the documents for our vendor partners.
Okay.
But for our open buying event and for other just standard appointments that we have with vendors, it's really whatever the vendor wants to use for now. Until we have a standardized form, it's whatever works. An Excel file would be just fine.
Okay. And as far as the quotation itself, prepaid to DC, cost collect, you said there's probably not so much in the drop ship. Is there pickup allowance? What do they need to focus on there?
Yeah, I mean, so that's a tough question to answer right now because of the fact that our supply chain is transforming itself. So in a lot of cases, fully prepared would look something like this. Direct, prepaid direct to 42 stores, which will be 49 at the end of next year. And then prepaid and FOB or collect to our distribution center. Like that's most prepared in my mind is that
okay.
Supplier would come in with a DSD quote in addition to a prepaid and FOB quote as well for the distribution center.
Be ready to go in either direction depending on where the buyer's at.
Right. It's going to depend on where the category manager's categories are, whether they've fully converted over to the new DC or not. That just, at the end of the day, our category managers obviously know what businesses have transitioned and what the timeline is to move them over into the new DC, but it makes it a little bit more of a challenging question to answer because it's right now it could be any one of the three.
And this is probably also going to fall into the challenging question because of that, but as far as a transition strategy, if they're replacing an existing vendor, is that something that Fleet Farm is taking care of on their own, or does the supplier need to come up with a plan on it? What's the best way to go?
In general, if we're flipping out a full category or a full vendor, our expectation is that there are funds, whether they're markdown allowances or a buyback from the new vendor to support that transition.
Okay. Along the same vein, fees that they should be aware of as far as, loyalty programs, business development support, central billing fees, defective item allowances, those kinds of things. Is that all negotiable or is that something that there's some standards that they should be aware of?
No, I mean, everything here is negotiable at the end of the day. I mean, first and foremost, we are looking for a price that allows us to hit our target margins, and we operate on less margins than a lot of our peers do in the marketplace, but allow us to hit our target margins and hit a retail at the low end of the marketplace. We are a value-conscious retailer. Our customers are value-conscious. We're not looking to blow up the marketplace, but our expectation is that we are on the low end from a price perspective. We do not like to get beat on price here. And we're looking to hit our target margin. So first and foremost, the goal is to back into a acquisition price of the item that allows us to do those two things. We don't have a loyalty program yet. I would expect that'll come on in 19 or 2020. Past item and price, there's a number of different programs that a category manager might ask a vendor to participate in. From a defective allowance standpoint, really what we want most of our vendors to participate in is just simply destroy and deduct. Meaning if something comes in defective, that we've got a program in place that allows the DC or the store to destroy it, and we deduct from the manufacturer. Our defective claims are very low in general, which is one of the things I'm proud of. Like, we handle our merchandise well, but that's really the desire. There is an opportunity to put in an actual defective allowance, half point, 1 point, 2 points, depends on the category, I would say. From a lot of vendors, if we're going to advertise the item, we are going to look for some sort of advertising support. That could come in the form of a lump sum. It could come in the form of a percentage of the total business. It could come in the form of a pay for play. We there's a value that we equate to all of our advertising and in-store space. So we do sell end cap and ad space within our circulars. There's lots of opportunities here for our vendors to get promotional. And there's a number of different ways for them to participate in advertising with Fleet Farm. It's really, every program is really somewhat customized and unique though. But the vast majority of our vendors, we do look for advertising and marketing support. The other program I would mention as well is our new store program. We do have the expectation that vendors participate in the new store program. It's pretty simple, but it's somewhat convoluted, admittingly. It's 0.004% of prior 12-month purchases. So it's 0.004% of what we bought from given vendor for the prior 12 months for every new store we open. So for instance, this year, you know, we're opening five stores. You know, the average vendor, that's going to equate to about 2% of purchases. But they obviously get the benefit, though, of you know, distribution into five new stores. And it's material for us. I mean, we're $1.5 billion retailer on 37 stores. And so when we open five new, I mean, our vendor partners along with us, we do feel it, like it's material pretty fast. And so, but we do look, we look for 0.4% of what we bought from that vendor for the prior year, for every new store that we open.
And so, so how does that translate to a new vendor?
So for a new vendor, they usually what most of our category managers will do is they'll just ask for a very reasonable flat amount for the new stores. You know, it could be a couple $100 or something like that until a vendor gets up and established and they've got a year's worth of history. And then we just, the program just works. It just calculates based upon what we bought for the prior year.
Okay.
But usually in year one, it's just a small flat amount that we look for. That it's not an intimidating number, Steve. Let's put it that way.
You had mentioned earlier that you're trying to you know one of your marketing positions is to be a lower cost than your competitors. Who and as far as, you know, obviously the suppliers are going to be going in and price shopping against the competition. Who do you consider to be your biggest competitors in the market?
So that's a believe it or not, that's a pretty tough question. I would say there's about 15 folks that are on the list because of the diversity of our business.
For the categories that we, you know who we're bringing in. It's mostly the, you know, your core DIY hardware, lawn and garden types.
In that space, obviously Home Depot, Lowe's, Menards, Walmart, the co-ops, Ace and True Value, you know, I think are in our trading area tend to be fairly strong. So we're definitely thinking about them as well. So I think the standard big box retailers, in addition to the convenience hardware chains.
Okay. Any other advice for the suppliers as they're getting their pitch and their and their meeting materials ready?
No, I mean we are really actively looking for a lot of diversity in our mix. One of the things that has made Fleet Farm a unique retailer over the years and allowed this business to grow very nicely for the last 60 years is the fact that we have a really kind of quacky, wacky, unique group of categories that we participate in, but we're also deep in those categories. And a lot of that is that the team here over the years has been unafraid to try a lot of things, try new products. We're always looking for things that can set Fleet Farm apart and make us unique in the marketplace. But we are absolutely looking for diversity. So much that even in our merchandising strategy, we've specifically called out new products and new vendors as being an area of focus for us, which is saying something given the fact that this business has been pretty good at it for a long time. So no, I mean I would we're a diverse retailer. We have big stores. We have space to put stuff. You know, we're looking for folks that can bring uniqueness to our assortments and create differentiation for Fleet Farm and, you know, allow us to sell, you know, vendors' products at competitive prices and hit our target margins. And, you know, it's a lot of opportunities here. We have well over 70 different advertisements a year, 52 circulars a year, one base circular a week, plus a whole smattering of additional promotional events. We're a highly promotional retailer. So I think one of the things that excites a lot of vendors, whether they're big or small, is the opportunity to get their products in front of the customer. There's a lot of that opportunity here.
Okay. As far as after the meetings happen, as they're communicating with the buyers, is email the best way? How do your buyers normally communicate?
Yeah, I mean, your category managers are fine with email, phone, whatever works. I mean, both of those are fine. I mean, obviously, some have the preference more so of email than phone, and others are vice versa, but either means is fine.
So if they're not hearing back, try both.
There you go. That's right.
All right. Well, I thank you for your time, and I'm going to turn off the recording here, but we look forward to seeing you in November.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it as well.